Good morning. Welcome and happy day. It's so good to see you, and I expect to be seeing about twice as many as this in the next few minutes. Everybody's on University of Michigan time. We're so glad you're here. We especially welcome those of you who may be visiting with us for the first time or for the first time in a while. We do invite all of you to fill out the connection card that is in your bulletin. You can fill that out now or later in the service, and you'll have opportunity to drop that in the offering plate when that comes by later this morning. Our slight delay this morning was we are missing candles, and we didn't get the candles out. We want to express our gratitude to Max and Charlie, who were going to acolyte this morning. Thank you, boys. But the light of Christ does shine among us and in our hearts. You can read announcements related to congregational life in your bulletin insert. We are going to highlight a few of those this morning. One is I want to make sure you know that we continue to have just a wonderful adult Christian education set of classes, but a fantastic series that is happening in the Memorial Lounge called For All the Saints, which has been going on since September, with lots of great response. And this morning, Beth Foster will be sharing about the poet, the late, recently deceased poet, Mary Oliver, a much beloved figure with fantastic poetry. And we want to make sure those of you who are familiar with her know about this session. And those of you who may not yet have had the privilege to know about her, please consider staying for that session at 11:30. Zan. Zan has a few things to highlight.
I want to draw your attention to something in worship today. We're going to sing the Gloria in a Round. It's been a while since we've done that. The kiddos and the teenagers are going to come forward, and we're going to sing that in a three-part round. You all will go first. You all will go second. You all will go third. So the kids and teens, please join us up here as the Gloria starts when Shanae starts playing, and we'll sing that together. A fun way to get us all involved in worship and to move a little bit as we worship. We also have a fabulous celebration today in honor of baby Duke on the way. Chris and Lindsay, we get to celebrate them during fellowship time today. We're starting a new thing. Board of Care and Community, in partnership with the staff, have been having conversation about how best to honor babies, families when they have a first baby or adopt the first baby to celebrate. And so today we're going to have a baby celebration during fellowship time, which means we get to have some special treats in honor of the baby. There's a congregational card that we hope that you will sign downstairs, and we'll pray a blessing prayer over you as well at the end, just before second hour. So we hope you all will come and celebrate the new life on the way. And you'll hear more in the upcoming newsletter about all the different ways that we'll be celebrating new babies as we go forward as a church family. So we're delighted to celebrate you guys today. And one more thing, I want to draw your attention to the trip to Nicaragua that's happening in the first week of March. You may have seen Pete Stover out in the hallway this morning. There's a group of folks going soon, and we have two fundraising bulletin boards happening out in the hallway. One is about toothbrushes and toothpaste that the kids have been paying careful attention to and counting. We're trying to gather 100 of each of those things for kits for children in Managua. And then we are also fundraising $5,000 is our goal for our projects that we'll be doing with Amos Health and Hope to support their work. So you can see Pete after worship. He'll be back by the bulletin boards there, and there'll be somebody there each Sunday. If you'd like to make a contribution, you can do that with a check and put Amos Tripp in the memo line. So we are grateful for your partnership in that important work as we support Amos Health and Hope. Thanks.
Thanks, Dan. The God of the cosmos comes among us in the most tender and intimate ways. In these moments, may we open our hearts anew to the power of God's presence among us and to the reality of God's love for us. Let us worship.
Please stand as you are able. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come here today to worship you. May we feel your presence in this place. Teach us today to leave the ways of the world behind and to follow you. May we honor you with our words and with our thoughts, with our actions. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. On the day I called, you answered. You increased the strength of my soul.
The Lord is high, but those also lowly. But God keeps his distance from the arrogant. But by law, in the midst of affliction, you do good to God.
You stretch out your hand and save me. Your hand will do all things for me. Your love, O Lord, is eternal.
We listen now to a reading from the prophet Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the hem of God's robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of God's glory." The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voice of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me. I am lost, for I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips, yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched you, you are clean. Your sin is blotted out." And then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me." The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Holy, holy, holy Lord, here we are. You have called us. We mean to answer. We lift our hearts to you, ever grateful for all that you are and all that you give. For all that is lovely and good, we thank you. In all that is difficult and painful, we seek to trust you. And in all that is confusing, maddening, or disheartening, we mean to look for signs of your presence and to honor and serve you in every way we can. In our seeking and our trusting, we offer these prayers to you. We pray for our world and for all affected by violence, poverty, or pain. We pray for those who are weary but cannot rest, whose needs demand that they work more. We pray for those who cannot work. We pray for those without homes or refuge or adequate care. We pray for children and teenagers everywhere. We pray for our leaders to be actual leaders, governing with wisdom, justice, and a commitment to the public good. We pray for your church everywhere, that we might trust your power within us to touch and transform our communities with your love. We pray for our congregation specifically. Give us your vision, your courage, and your heart for your world. Loving God, there are people we care about who are hurting in particular ways this morning, and we carry their hurts in our hearts. So we pray for them now. For Helen Louise Bowser, Peter Beauvais, Jean Evie, Joan and Lynn Blunt, Ron and Donna Tipton, Wilma Duke, Doris George, Bill McKeachie, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Bob Simpson, Anna Kirstein, Saw Nay Lin, Judy Stratman, Liz and Micah Dalton, Robert L., Marissa Alanese. For the Jones family, John Wallace, John Rice, Patty DeYoung and family, Rebecca Levinson, Jim Terrace, for Nee, David, Fiona, Bob Morrison, Gloria, Terry, Dawn, Jean, for Megan, and for Lucas. We also pray our own private prayers as we draw near to you in silence. Holy God, you know us, you love us. So help us base our lives on that unshakable foundation, that we might be faithful in knowing and loving others. We lift all these prayers and more in the name of Jesus, who taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. A reading from the book of Luke. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let out your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The word of the Lord. I now invite the children to come forward for time as children.
Teenagers and grown-ups for singing that song with us. We heard some stories today from the Bible about people who know they need God. Isaiah says, "Woe is me," which means, "God, I know I need you." And then we hear Isaiah say, "Here I am, send me." Two important parts: God, I need you, and God, I'm ready to be about you in the world. Send me. And I was thinking about our friends in Nicaragua at Amos who do this really lovely thing. I was thinking about this as we think about Valentine's Day. They do this thing of sending love to each other. So they say, "Amor, amor, amor." Amor is love in Spanish. And they do this with their hands at Amos. Amor, amor, amor. And they do that to each other, and then when they do it to each other, like if I do it to Lizzie, then Lizzie receives the love. So she goes like this. And that's what church is all about. We come together to say, "God, we need you. God, we're ready to go be your people in the world." And then we love each other and support each other. So I'm going to invite us to do some things here. I'm going to invite first the kids up here to say those words, "Here am I, send me." And then everybody else in the space is going to send you love. Amor, amor, amor. And what is your job? Do you remember? You have to receive it. Okay? So are you guys ready? It's, "Here I am, send me." Let's say it together.
Here I am, send me. And we're all going to say, "Amor, amor, amor."
You have to receive it. Everybody else in the congregation is going to also say, "Here am I, send me." And the kids, our job is to send love to them, to support them in that work. Can you all say, "Here I am, send me"? Let's do it. Show, look at them. Look at them. Amor, amor, amor. And you receive it. Yes. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you love us, that we can be about your love. We know we need it, and we know we need each other. Thank you for the gift of Jesus' love for us and for the whole world. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's pray together, please. O Spirit, in your infinite kindness, speak to us. And from the depths of our hearts, may we hear. Amen. A man comes into a house of worship, just as you and I have already done this morning. The man has no reason to think that today will be any different from all his other times in the sanctuary before, but this time he is shaken to the core. Something happens that terrifies him, dismantles him, reorients him, and sends him out a different way than he had come. This is 28 centuries ago. The man's name is Isaiah, and what overtakes him in the temple is a vision of God. It can't actually be God, since God is beyond seeing, but something in this vision is very real. God enthroned, high and lifted up, so massive that the temple is filled up just with the hem of God's garment and with a thick cloud of smoke. Unearthly creatures are flying upward and crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. The whole earth is filled with God's glory." The thunder of that praise shakes the foundations of the whole building. High overhead, what is this that Isaiah sees now? Vast as the sky, is that a face? My God, is that what pure love looks like? Unutterable goodness, fathomless mind, inconceivable power, unbearable beauty, and as someone has said, a face half ruined with suffering and fierce with joy. Who knows what Isaiah saw in his vision of God, but whatever it was, the cry all around it was, "Holy, holy, holy, and glory, the whole earth is filled with God's glory." And this is the beginning, I think, of all that finally matters, the holy. Behind and within and beyond all that ever was or ever will be is the Holy One, and the whole earth is filled with God's glory. The whole universe is filled with the glory of God. How lightly you and I use our little word, God, with no idea of what we're talking about. Whatever we imagined of God would not come close to being enough. This is an awakening to see that our notions of God have been absurdly small. We are stripped then of the private little gods that we had in our pockets, the family gods, national gods, our intramural religious gods, the scorekeeper, tyrant, our imaginary friend. What we're left with is deity that does not play on our team, that is not a Christian, that defies all categories, exceeds all universes, holds all time at once, obliterates all distinctions between light and dark between sacred and secular. And the goodness there is in God is goodness beyond us to grasp. So the soaring voices in the vision cry out, "Holy, holy, holy." And if we are beginning to see it, then this is what our lives begin to cry out to. We live in wonderment, in reverence. The holy is among us. The world is luminous with it and with possibilities for it. And so we live awestruck lives, never too far from trembling, from exulting, weeping, dancing, listening, falling to our knees, and offering our lives in love. There are 1,000 ways to say, "Holy, holy, holy." And one of them is coming to terms with what is unholy in us and unholy all around us. Look at Isaiah standing in the bright light streaming from the throne. He looks down at himself and is horrified. It's like his skin is leprous, and he cries out, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips." Please notice, he does not come to this because someone has shamed him or scolded him or because he's got a tyrannical conscience and a habit of guilt feeling. He comes to this horror because he finally sees what is real, what is true. What goodness and beauty and love and life look like. And how out of sync he's been. How out of sync his world has been. And how it might be otherwise. And he knows the problem isn't just him. It is systemic and it is infectious. Not only am I someone of unclean lips, I live among people of unclean lips. His disease is part of the disease that rages in the institutions and structures and systems of his world. It's the nation, society, religion, education, economics, values, biases, family, and the poison flows from generation to generation. And I am in it, and you are in it. We are caught up in it, victims, participants, and purveyors. We are the wounded who do our share of wounding. We are sinned against, and we are sinners on our own. And often with countless co-conspirators. So we're estranged from the earth and from each other. We're estranged from God. We're estranged from ourselves. And again, we don't come to this knowledge by obsessing on our faults. For Isaiah, and for us, painful self-knowledge comes best from a vision of the beautiful, the glorious, the holy, high, and lifted up, and coming to terms with our longing to be part of it, and how we have been distorted and blocked from that belonging. Do you see what happens next? Without his even asking for it, a figure flies from the throne toward him with, in Flannery O'Connor's phrase, the speed of mercy. A live coal touches his mouth and the words come, "Your guilt is gone." God has never accused him. Love has no interest in our self-despising. God has bigger concerns than your guilt or even mine. When we tell the truth about ourselves and the hard truth about our people, and when we then understand that the grace of God is the healing of the wound, then we're free. Free in this case to hear a question, and free perhaps to step forward and answer it. Isaiah, now liberated from looking at himself with shame, notices at last that God, the Holy God, is sighing over a broken world. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? My people are killing each other, hating each other, abusing and abandoning each other. They exclude and oppress. They corrupt. Their minds are filled with deadly illusions and falsehoods. Too many are poor. Too many are hungry, frightened, lonely, lost. Will anyone be a voice for us, for them? And Isaiah steps out of the shadows and said, "I'm here." And God hadn't even called him. God hadn't spoken his name, hadn't addressed him personally at all. The man overhears the divine question, which might be answered by any number of people. No need for you or me to be personally addressed and yanked out of our lives and given a purpose. Anyone who takes the world situation seriously can hear the question and become an answer, including you and me, because God is still asking for volunteers. Given the vision of God's holy face over this world, given the glory that everywhere is and everywhere wants to be, how can we not step out of the shadows and say, "I will be a voice"? They said it three times, the words, "holy." We might hear it this way: "The Lord enthroned, high and lifted up, holy." A human being telling painful truth about the wound and receiving the gift of mercy for it. Holy. Somebody giving consent to God's purpose for the wounded world. Praise, confession, and consenting to our high purpose. Holy, holy, holy. And the whole earth is filled with God's glory. And if our hearts are just too broken for that, if we are too discouraged at present, too troubled, too guilty, too victimized, to beaten down. For praise or confession, or for our high purpose, then maybe it would be well for us to pause and raise our eyes to the hill of the skull and God's crucified beloved dying, high and lifted up, splayed against the sky. Holy. And he cries out forgiveness for us all. Holy. And on the third day, his rising becomes God's asking. Now who will follow? Our answer is our life. And Christ himself enthroned will bless our days and our nights by saying it himself. Holy. Awestruck, confessing, rising to our purpose, we give what is ours to give. Blessed are you, holy God, sovereign of the universe. All that we have, all that we are, all that we ever shall be is yours. Make it so. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Forgiven, cherished, and called as children of God, let us with gratitude, encouragement, and all given and receiving love extend to each other the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you.